I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Zachary Singleton, a graduate student in cybersecurity at the New York Institute of Technology. Zach earned his undergraduate degree in information technology, also at New York Tech's College of Engineering and Computing Sciences. A Long Island resident, Zachary has just been named as a recipient of a U.S. Department of Defense Cyber Scholarship. To learn more about New York Institute of Technology, visit nyit.edu. Welcome, Zach. It's so great to have you with us today.
Very nice to meet you. Hello, and it's great to be here.
Absolutely, and congratulations on your DoD Cyber Scholarship. That's huge.
Thank you. It's quite surreal, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, that's really to encourage like the nation's top cyber talent, right? So
pretty much.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Zach, to start, I guess what made you want to pursue studies in the cybersecurity field, especially having an undergrad in information technology?
So it's actually a really good story, I would say, for how I got into cybersecurity, to say the least. Pretty much it started while I was in high school. I found really early on a passion for computers. I really enjoyed tearing them apart, building them, pretty much anything you could do with like a physical computer. Once I entered my senior year, I was very fortunate enough to get enrolled in Cisco Networking Academy's IT Fundamentals course. This course pretty much was developed to turn a student into a functioning level one or two IT technician. Of course, it was packed with everything a student can do with computer hardware, but it also encompassed, I think, one or two computer networking modules, if I remember correctly. Once we got into those modules, I was more or less hooked with networking, computer networking. I found it extremely fascinating how information can be sent and received from one network node to another. I began the research and pretty much watched small tutorials on how I can create and send my own packets of information from one computer to another. And that very early on led into me and my few friends at the time pretty much creating our very first small chat program. I can't remember if it was in Java or Python, but to say the least, it was pretty much a blast. The program was the most sad, compromised program I've ever seen. If anyone knew pretty much the chat, like server IP and port number for the computer it was associated on, the program ran on, they could pretty much open a port and communicate with it. It was the most compromised thing. But it did exactly what I and my few friends at the time were looking for. How can we chat in class without needing our cell phones? Because of course, in school, using your cell phone was pretty much prohibited. I don't know how it is nowadays, but I'm sure it's still prohibited in some way or another. So that small program was pretty much the stepping stone for me in the cybersecurity. It evolved quickly into, okay, we can chat with each other now in class and not get caught. That's the key part. But what else can we do now? And of course, that just led us into manipulating pretty much all the course lab computers to see how much information we could extract from them, which then evolved into who can do it the fastest between my friends and I. And better yet, unnoticed, like who can do it the fastest and not get caught. Needless to say, I did get bored a little later on because you can only do so much of a small little chat program. But I was very fortunate enough to have a teacher for the Cisco class who fostered our passion. I was a very naive student. He knew what we were doing. He had monitoring software and all the computers. He knew exactly what we were doing, but he fostered our passion. He was like, all right, let's see how far these kids could go with it. And he pretty much built a small little cyber sandbox for us to test our various computing tools and like our small little chat program. But since it was a Cisco class, we played around with like Wireshark. He set up a small little computer of Backtrack at the time, which I think now is Kali Linux, and all those programs associated with it, and pretty much just do just about anything we wanted within reason. And of course, this was on a closed network separate to the school network. So pretty much whatever we wanted to do, of course, within reason. I was very particularly fond of going there during lunch with my friends to use the sandbox. And then later in the year, my teacher actually started to show us some old DEF CON hacking conference talks, showing us like, all right, this is like the dark arts of computing. This is the big boy stuff. This is the stuff you could get to probably sometime in the future. And needless to say, when it time came to pick my major for college, you could probably guess cyber was it. I was hooked.
That's awesome. That's a great story. And how fortunate to have that teacher who was so encouraging and built that cyber sandbox, which I like that term. That's a new one for me. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I would say he's probably the main reason why I'm in cyber.
So Zach, what does it mean to study at New York Tech and its College of Engineering and Computing Sciences, that's designed as a center of academic excellence in cyber defense education by the National Security Agency and the Department of Homeland Security, which is pretty huge. So what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So studying here at New York Tech, especially under those titles, is more than just the name and the title itself, in my opinion. It's more than just like that proud badge to wear. Like, yes, it is very well sponsored by NSA, DHS, your big agencies. But in my opinion, what it really means is the opportunities available to a student, but also the knowledge behind it that makes those opportunities so real. I could say with great assurance that the information I've learned here at New York Tech, but also the fashion in which I've learned and have obtained this knowledge, I probably would have not have obtained anywhere else. In one part being that it is a cyber defense education designated university, for one, but just the title it's behind. This program, it got its title, its backing from NSA, DHS, because it is one of the best. They have to go through a rigorous process, at least from what I've seen. That alone makes myself as a student just want to perform harder, knowing that in the future, the techniques I've learned and the knowledge that was passed on to me will be put to use, not only just to provide better national security, but maybe at some point even pass on the torch to the next generation of national security professionals, and almost like a trickle down effect in a way.
Absolutely. And New York Tech also has their Entrepreneurship and Technology Innovation Center. So can you share with us a little bit about the work that you do there?
Yeah, of course. So the Entrepreneurship and Technology Innovation Center, I'll just call it ETIC for short.
Okay.
It's run by Dr. Michael Nizek, and it's pretty much the university's premier hub space, whatever you'd like to call it, for like fostering discovery, cultivating new businesses and products, trailblazing some new fresh ideas in technology, engineering, applied science, you name it. Pretty much anything that has to do with top tech and top tech problems, the ETIC probably has a hand in making a difference in some way, or a hand in it. For myself, however, I am focusing mainly on expanding the cybersecurity research program and infrastructure within ETIC. But in addition to that, I am also aiding Dr. Nizek and developing some more of the remote programs for the ongoing ETIC research interests, and also projects for students. Given the pandemic, a lot of our stuff has gone virtual.
Right.
So I'm aiding Dr. Nizek in developing some more of those remote programs to make it much more accessible for students to learn and pretty much progress the bar in whatever field respectively they are studying. So, in short, I am doing something very exciting, and there is never something short of something exciting to do.
Very cool. And you've had a series of internships also at Brookhaven National Laboratory. What kind of work have you done there, and how does it complement what you're learning and doing in cyber?
So Brookhaven National Laboratory, I'll just say BNL for short, it has a very special place in my heart, and it always will have a special place in my heart. It is true. I've completed actually four different internships there, ranging from the Community College Internship Program, CCI, then to the Science Undergraduate Laboratory Internship Program, SULI, and I'm actually now sitting on my second part-time employment contract with them. The first contract was with the Office of Educational Programs. They are the absolute fantastic group of individuals who make the internships possible. And now the second employment contract, part-time contract, is now with Environmental and Climate Science. And I know what you might be thinking for that last one, climate science, huh? That's not cyber. You're pretty much correct. But this one in particular, I'm pretty much considering to be the most invaluable. And I'll get to why I think that very shortly. But my first couple were based in nonproliferation and national security, true cyber. Being an intern in this department really set in stone my passion for the field, no doubt about it. Not many individuals have a chance to meet, let alone work alongside the best in the business. Like, this is top tier individuals in the field. And that's needless to say, unlike the age old thought, like, okay, you're an intern in with them, you're interning with them. Well, interns just make coffee and get the department mail, right? No. This internship was nothing like that. My mentor, he took me under his wing, all right. And he not only did it as if I was a new member of the team, but as if I was his own kid, for a lack of better words. He cultivated my knowledge, but more importantly, my passion within the field. He pushed me to my very best. I still look up to him this very day for this. I attribute most of not just what I know, but my passion for the field to him. But digressing from that, I worked on a small project with him that dealt with the progression of software-defined networking, SDNs. In turn, this was pretty much looking to be a new scalable alternative to some of the growing laboratory cybersecurity concerns. Most of my time was spent learning and then applying the methodologies of these SDNs. It really is a truly fascinating topic, especially for those interested in a scalable network security solution. Definitely look into software-defined networking. You'd be surprised of the capabilities. But my last internship there, I worked alongside a brilliant atmospheric scientist who I'm also now employed by to help process some of our aerosol model data. Now, I know you may be thinking, how does that apply anything to computer security, cybersecurity? It doesn't. Okay. But I'm also glad that it doesn't. The work done in that internship was pretty much, it was just all data analytics and processing. The very material the operational security guys that I was fortunate to intern for previously protect. Like, that's the stuff they protect. They build procedures to protect this information these scientists are generating. To see the other side of the coin being with the data scientists and understanding it, I believe has made me a much better cybersecurity student and hopeful future cybersecurity leader and professional. It's the same methodology as in order to stop a hacker, for lack of better words. You need to know how to perform. You need to be a hacker in order to stop them. In order for me, in my head, in my opinion, in order for me to protect our scientists' information, in my opinion, you should have a very good understanding of how to conduct their work. I think that's a very good point that I think many could take to heart.
That's a good perspective. I think that is really strong and powerful. And through your internships and your school experiences, you mentioned having a lot of great mentors. So that's something oftentimes we find in an internship. So how important are internships to gaining traction in the field?
In my opinion, of course, this is my opinion, but internships should be a mandatory thing, not just for cyber, but probably for any field. It's one thing to get the degree, but the path to that degree only teaches so much within the classes. A lot of it also is what I like to call textbook theory.
Sure.
The internship does the opposite. It actually sits you down and has you physically apply what you've learned. This hands-on experience you gain from an internship, I think, is completely invaluable. In my opinion, it not only make you perform better in your classes, but also set you apart from the rest once you graduate and have that degree. And then you're looking for that, of course, for me being cyber, that first analyst position. Why? Because you've likely have done some of it already during your internship. And for me personally, I know I've sat through, I think, two classes now, going through some of the homework and labs. I'm like, okay, I've done this before, and I've done the upscaled version of this. This is cakework now. But also gives me a completely different perspective of the stuff I'm learning, seeing it actually applied in person by the best of the best, learning from them. It's, I would say it's a very valuable experience. And that's why I think internships should really be mandatory for gaining any traction within the field, especially cybersecurity, for sure.
Absolutely. And for our next question, you know, we hear from cyber experts all the time about what they see as the greatest threats, and it's always changing, especially how things have rapidly changed with COVID-19. But what do you think are the biggest security threats, and also, you know, in addition to, or perhaps conversely, the biggest opportunities?
That's a tough one. In my opinion, I would have to go, I believe the biggest security threat to be an insider threat. That'd be my number one. Because at least for me, it seems every other article I read referencing cybersecurity, it's about some other foreign entity or corporation in the US, or even a foreign company has, of course, fell victim to some sort of insider threat, right? So like for the biggest opportunity, now referring to the biggest opportunity, I think that's a tough one. The landscape changes pretty much every minute, or so it seems at least. So I believe finding some type of scalable security solution would be ideal. And of course, that's referencing some of the software-defined networking stuff. I did as a project at BNL. Because in my opinion, hardware only lasts so long until its end of life, right? Software, on the other hand, usually, from what I've seen, has a longer shelf life. And if done correctly, can be very easily scalable to not just future hardware, but also new arising security concerns, because that's what you want. You want a solution that can encompass many different security concerns. So I would say that's probably one of the biggest opportunities, is finding some type of scalable security solution. But for what I think is one of the biggest security threats, insider threat, that's my number one.
Well, thank you for that. And so you will become a Department of Defense civilian employee when you graduate. What long term, what do you see yourself doing in cyberspace?
So my family is very much military oriented.
Okay.
With that being said, I've been wanting to serve my country in one way or another for as early as I can remember. And that's going back to elementary school. I remember my third grade teacher, he was like, what do you want to do? You grow up. And I'm like, oh, Army, Air Force, something around there. So actually before I actually got notification that I've got the DoD cyber scholarship, I was pretty much on track to joining the Air Force.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully as an officer, doing something cyber, of course, maybe cyber command. And of course, as before, I was given the opportunity to enter the DoD as a civilian employee. But longer term than that, I see myself definitely continuing my education for my PhD. I know I'm graduating my master's, then I'm going to the DoD, but I definitely at some point want to pursue my PhD. And then probably at that point, I'm definitely for sure want to cultivate or start cultivating the next generation of national security professionals, because there has to be somebody after me that has to take the torch. So might as well teach them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about that, you know, next generation workforce, we know, and we talk about it a lot here at Cybercrime Magazine, that there's a lack of skilled talent to help, you know, build the pipeline in cyber defense. So how can the field generate more interest to get bright young people such as yourself and your classmates to join in and buy in?
I think one way of going about that, in my opinion, is to get some more computational science stuff into the K through 12 programs. I know in my high school, at least, there was a programming class. But if I remember correctly, I think you either had to be a junior, I think it was a senior. You had to be a senior to take it. And it was just one class.
Yeah.
Not really the best thing, because when you're a senior, at least for me, like I already had knew what I was doing,
right,
and like where I was going. So like that's not a long time.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, this is computer science, I like this, I'm going to cybersecurity. Like, no, I don't think it really works like that. At least it didn't for me. So I don't know, maybe some type of computational science class, maybe around middle school. I mean, that's just a guess. And my theory behind it is like, we're at the point now, technology is everywhere and everyone has some sort of device on them, right? I mean, I've seen middle schoolers now walking around with iPhones.
Yeah.
When I was a middle schooler, forget about it. I had my Nintendo DS and that was pretty much about it, right? But you can't surf the internet on that. So yeah, I would say that teaching children about software and early on programming is probably a step in the right direction. Of course, I believe once you have some type of foundation like this, you will have an influx of individuals, children, etc., who will start to think outside the box and will start to push and will enjoy, like myself, enjoy pushing the boundary. And this is probably going to make some of the perfect candidates who you would find cyber to be the best fit for them. You know, break things, then break even more things. I mean, one thing I've been living by, at least from my mentor, BNL, and I stay day to day now, is you find a lot out about why something broke than why it didn't break.
Right.
So I would say, in my opinion, some type of computational science in earlier on for in the K through 12 program, I think you're going to start finding some really good candidates for cyber defense in the future.
Well, Zach, so glad that you enjoyed breaking things and had some great mentors so that you are part of, you know, the solution to the talent needed to help continue building our cyber defense. And congratulations again on your scholarship. That's a huge achievement. So thank you for joining us.
No, thank you. Thank you. It's been great. I mean, it's been quite the path. I mean, I'm only 23. I'm only just getting started, right? So let's see, give or take, I'll retire in what, 40, 45 years. So I'm just getting started. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but I'm definitely excited. So yeah. Thank you for having me on. It's been great.
Of course. Our pleasure. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Zachary Singleton, graduate student at the New York Institute of Technology and recipient of a U.S. Department of Defense Cyber Scholarship. To learn more about the New York Institute of Technology, visit nyit.edu. and you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.